Friends, grace to you all in peace and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are so glad to have all of you with us this morning. Special welcome to visitors and guests and family traveling from far away. We're glad you could celebrate this special day with us too. Today marks the end of Advent and the beginning of our Christmas celebrations. It is a wonderful time to gather and worship. And I'd call your attention to one announcement in the bulletin, which is we will continue to mark this celebration this evening. Our Christmas Eve service of lessons and carols and candlelight will be at 5:30 p.m. here in the sanctuary. So we do hope you'll have the opportunity to join us later. You can see a full list of announcements. As we do begin to celebrate Christmas, it becomes a quieter time in the life of the church. And so a special thank you to all of you who have worked so hard in preparing the Christmas pageant, in decorating, in teaching Sunday school, and preparing music, and helping us overall mark this season in such a wonderful and celebratory way. So now I'd open it up to any of you who have announcements to share with the church this morning. Yes. Okay. Thanks, Berrien. We'll pray for and be excited with the Merritt family together. Bob's coming up as well. Sure.
On behalf of the congregation, when we come to this season, when we celebrate God's greatest gift to us, I think it's only appropriate that the members of First Presbyterian say thanks to the church staff that serve us all year long. So to Trent and our student singers in the choir, Odalis and Mickey in the nursery, to Aaron in the office, and to Will, I think on behalf of the congregation, we want to give you these gifts and say thank you for your work all during the year. Join me in...
Thanks, Bob, and thanks to all of you for joining with us in this important ministry. Are there any other announcements? Then let us celebrate, let us worship God, and begin our worship by sharing a sign of Christ's peace. The peace of Christ be with you all. Let's share the peace of Christ with our neighbors.
stand for the Advent Litany? We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing ourselves for the days. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, and the lion, and the fatling together.
And the little child shall be with them.
The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly. The Lord will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child and shall bear a son and shall name him Emmanuel.
God is with us.
For all who are weary and carry heavy burdens,
come, Lord Jesus.
For the poor and the hungry,
come, Lord Jesus.
For the victims of violence and injustice, for those who are persecuted because of your name,
come,
for those who have no voice to sing your praise,
come,
for the sake of the creation you love,
come,
and let us pray. God of grace, always faithful to your promises, the earth rejoices in hope of our Savior's coming and looks forward for longing to his return at the end of all things. Prepare our hearts to receive him when he comes, for he is Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you. be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humanity and faith, let us confess our sins together. First in silence, let us pray. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek these in your Christ who comes to judge the world. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Now I'd like to invite the children to come forward and join me on the steps for our time together in worship. Good morning. It's good to see you. We're almost at Christmas, right?
Yeah.
You all did such a good job in the pageant last week. Did you enjoy being in the Christmas pageant? Yeah, what were you in the pageant? Not yet. Here, we'll get to these. Hey, Andrew, what was everyone in the pageant last week?
I was Joseph.
I was
an angel.
You were an angel? What were you in the pageant, Lila? You were a picky, that's right.
A sheep.
That's fun. So I want to show you some pictures I got upstairs. Does this look familiar? Yeah, do you see any of your characters from the Christmas pageant?
Whoa.
Yeah. Do you see any of your pictures?
With these.
It's hard to tell sometimes. There's Joseph. There's one of the sheep.
There's Mary.
There's Mary, and there's Jesus, and there are angels. And then I've got another picture.
Go on.
That has Mary and Joseph and Jesus and the wise men who are coming to visit and give gifts. So we have all the people who are in our Christmas pageant in these pictures. All right. So do you think we can figure out who these folks in this basket are? Who does this look like?
One of the kings.
One of the kings. He's got a crown.
Rudolph.
Okay. So can we put them all right here and see what they look like together? So we've got our own manger scene.
Joseph.
Okay, good job. So we've got it all set up. So who do we think the most important person in this scene is?
Mary, because they wouldn't have Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. So maybe Jesus and by extension Mary. You know, we couldn't have the birthday without the mother, right? It's an important day for them too. You know, so who's the second most important person, do you think?
Joseph,
that's a good guess too. I think each one of us is just as important as these characters. Now, just how you were all in the Christmas pageant and helping tell the story of Jesus coming, Jesus came for each one of us too and invites us to be a part of the story as well. So we all have a piece to contribute. We can all be a part of the story just as we were in the Christmas pageant. That this year when we get to bring in Christmas, we recognize that Jesus came for us too so that we could know God better. I think that's exciting, good news, and I thank you for telling that to the congregation. Will you have a prayer with me before we go? Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus and for making us a part of your story. Help us to love one another. Just as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we dismiss our children to their time together in worship, let's bless them, saying, God be with you there, and God be with you here.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2. Listen for God's word. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there is no place for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today is an unusual day in the Christian year. It is both the fourth Sunday of Advent and Christmas Eve. So we're right at this moment like a door on a hinge. We can open it one way or the other. I'd like to think of the telling of the Christmas story at this moment as the time that the door opens and we see the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. That being said, we are still in a time of preparation. Many of you may have been spending this weekend putting up last-minute decorations, getting food ready, or house ready for family, or buying last-minute gifts. I spent the past week getting ready, too. Christmas is a busy time around here at the church, and we're also looking forward to a trip ourselves next week. That being said, I worked ahead. I have a deadline for my Dalton Daily Citizen column on the fourth Thursday of every month that will run on the fourth Saturday. And they took my sign of advanced preparation that they should run the column this week. So if you recognize some familiarity between the column that was printed in the paper yesterday and my sermon today, I can only say that in this season of preparation, it just goes to show that your best laid plans run into an interruption at Christmas. Christmas interrupts all of our plans. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, listen to the story of God's coming for you. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Prepare us to receive your word again, God of grace, that Jesus Christ, your Son, would be born for us too. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. One year the Christmas tree leaned. And it didn't matter how many times we unscrewed the tree stand, it just wouldn't stand up straight. And yes, we sawed off the bottom of the trunk too. So all of our efforts failed, and the tree was held in place by a complicated network of dental floss that attached the tree to the shutters in the living room. If light spilled through the windows just right, you could see the rigging behind the illusion. Sometimes things don't cooperate when you're trying to get through your checklist on the way to Christmas. This year, things were a bit easier. Because of that extra week after Thanksgiving, Advent started a little bit later than usual, so we were eager to get going, too. The tree was up early, check. Decorated not long after that, check. Black Friday deals extend into December now, so it wasn't long before we even finished Christmas shopping. Check. That was a big one. Then there were treats to bake. Check. And Christmas cards to send, which will probably end up being New Year's cards again this year, but that's okay. We're working on it. There are thank you notes and invitations to answer. We had to get the car serviced this past week, anticipating our trip on Tuesday, which turned into tire rotation and wheels aligned. Check, check. At church, we have a checklist too. We got through the Advent workshop, check. Christmas pageant, check. Decorating and meals, special music, all the bulletins, check, check, check. Some of us have been meeting for lunch on Wednesdays this past month, talking about new spiritual practices we committed to during the season of preparation. So this has the benefit of preparing our souls as we prepare everything else in our lives. And at the same time, it means we've added something else to the checklist, which, depending on the day, doesn't always get done. I don't know how things pile up like this. There's nothing new under the sun. People have been getting ready for Christmas for a long time, buying gifts, sending cards, decorating, putting together the Christmas pageant. But I understand from some of you that things did not always operate at this fever pitch. Now it's like we're racing through a desert, hoping to maintain enough energy until we reach water at the end of it. And if you were to follow most of us around with a camera, you might think that Christmas itself, this great celebration, would not come without our efforts. Like somehow Mary and Joseph won't make it to Bethlehem if we don't choose the 2-day shipping option. Of course, what we celebrate this season does not depend on us at all. It depends on God. Through the pain and struggle and yearning of the world, God comes to us as a child, born in a manger. It's not something you can really prepare for. You just do the best that you can. Mary and Joseph, I'm assuming, had a lot to prepare for. They had the added, they were expecting a child, which many of us know comes with lots of gadgets and things to buy and rooms to get ready. They had the added pressure of filling out their taxes, which holds water with the theory that the first Christmas actually happened in springtime. That was a joke. Maybe they had other things to get ready too. They were newly married, and so they were probably still writing thank you notes for wedding china and silver spoons. Maybe they had just bought a house in Nazareth to stay near parents and have someone to take care of the kid on Tuesdays and Thursdays. When the governor passed tax reform, they had to get ready to go to Bethlehem and had to fight holiday traffic, worrying about getting tires rotated on the donkey. I'm joking because I think it's actually hard to realize what Mary and Joseph went through getting ready for this first Christmas. Traveling far from home, Mary carrying this miraculous promise of God in her womb. Many of us know how much goes into preparing for a new baby, but how do you prepare for that baby who is the Son of God? There's nothing you can do. One day you just wake up to the surprise of God. So maybe there's nothing we can do to get ready for Christmas this year. It will happen with or without us. God will come as Jesus, and we can plan and make lists and do all the things that we do, but it will not make difference in light of the one who was and who is to come. G.K. Chesterton said, "The great majority of people will go on observing forms that cannot be explained. They will keep Christmas Day with Christmas gifts and Christmas benedictions. They will continue to do it and suddenly wake up and discover why." It happens without us. All of our work, all of a sudden, might bear fruit and give way to Jesus Christ. That's what Luke tells us. Christmas story we read every year comes from Luke. Luke is the most literary of the four Gospels. He's the best storyteller, so it makes sense that he can tell us about the birth of Jesus with all the winsome images of shepherds and angels and Jesus lying in a manger. But a closer look at the story raises some questions. Wouldn't we want to know a little bit more about Mary and Joseph and their preparations and what it was like to travel on donkey, a pregnant woman, miles and miles to Bethlehem? What was it like to find no room at the inn? When did Mary go into labor? There could be a race against the clock and we're just not privy to it. What did they do to prepare? Surely there's a little bit more drama here than Luke is letting on. The reason I'm suspicious and I think this is odd is because today, People love to tell birth stories. Everyone has a birth story. You remember every detail of what it was like to welcome a new child into the world. My parents remember how when my sister was born, it was February, and it was 80 degrees outside, and people were playing frisbee outside the hospital. And they remember how when I was born and our grandmother came to stay with us and my older sister asked, when is Mavi going home? We remember how Allie was born and we were surprised to discover that our anesthesiologist was a member of the church. Or when Margaret was born and how I made it to Hamilton in less than 5 minutes. Sometimes people tell you their birth stories, which when you're expecting your own children isn't always helpful. A colleague at a previous church told how he and his wife had just moved to a new town, and he was working at the church one day, and the telephone wasn't hooked up, so he missed the call from his wife saying she had gone into labor and ended up delivering at home with the help of a neighbor. This was when we were expecting our first child. That was a birth story. So Luke doesn't seem interested in this kind of surprise or these kinds of details, at least not for Mary or Joseph. Luke doesn't want to tell us a birth story. He wants to tell us why there is a birth story. So immediately the scene changes. Shepherds are in their fields keeping watch over their flocks by night, and an angel of the Lord appears to them. They have no chance to prepare. They have nothing to bring to this baby being born. They have nothing with them that would be useful to celebrate. They have no gifts, no carols, no Christmas cards or cookies. Christmas arrives unlooked for, unprepared for, a complete surprise over the ordinary course of their lives. That's how God comes. It was like suddenly they woke up and discovered why they were there. So here are the shepherds waiting in the fields. The angels comes, and as often happens with angels in scriptures, the shepherds are terrified. So this does not begin even as a pleasant or asked for experience. But the angel says, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger. Luke doesn't linger with Mary and Joseph because that's not why Jesus has come. Luke visits shepherds and angels so that we can hear the birth announcement, which is, to you is born. To you is born a Savior, a Messiah. To you is born the presence of God in the midst of creation. To you is born the end of your grief and suffering and the very reason for your being. To you is born the purpose of your life, the great adventure and the call of God to follow. To you is born nothing less than the way from earth to heaven, like God's red carpet has unrolled all the way to your feet. You have not prepared. You can never be prepared for it. Jesus is born to you. So the shepherds, they go and do what the angels said. They find Mary and Joseph and the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, and maybe they're helpful and tell Mary and Joseph that swaddling clothes don't really work after about 2 weeks. But that's beside the point. They tell the parents what they've heard, which could be a shock at first. This child is not yours, or not only yours. This child is born to us too. So Mary hears these words and treasures them in her heart. The shepherds rejoice. They haven't prepared, but really they never could. Things will never be the same. C.S. Lewis points out that the ways that we prepare to receive God, worship, prayer, reading scripture, are often not helpful preparation really for when we receive God. He uses prayer as an example. Prayer is irksome, he says. An excuse to admit it is never unwelcome. When it is over, it casts a feeling of relief and holiday over the rest of the day. The odd thing is that this reluctance to pray is not confined to periods of dryness. When yesterday's prayers were full of comfort and exaltation, today's will still be felt to some degree a burden. But I don't rest much on these feelings, nor would I if it were 10 times as much as it is. I have a notion that what may seem our worst prayers are what God deems our best. Those, I mean, which are least supported by devotional feeling and contend with the greatest disinclination and come from a deeper level than feeling. What he's saying is your feelings, your preparation for what's coming don't matter because there is nothing you can do to prepare for God's gift. You can only receive it when it comes. So Lewis continues, he says, one thing seems certain in prayer, it's no good angling for rich moments. God seems to speak to us most intimately when he catches us as if it were off our guard. Our preparations to receive him sometimes have the opposite effect. Charles Williams says somewhere that the altar must often be built in one place in order that the fire from heaven may descend somewhere else. This isn't just true of Christmas. Every day, every moment has the potential to receive the presence of God. We can spend most of our lives planning, and many of us do. We work hard, we make future plans, we get houses and finances in order, we make plans in our personal lives, we raise our children and prepare them for the future, we do everything we can, our best possible efforts to manicure our lives into the most attractive shape they can be in, and they will still be insufficient for receiving the full presence of God, the God who comes unlooked for without our help, only as a gift. So with our help or no, God is coming. The answer to our deepest longing, the relief of our pain, the direction of our future, God's intention for each one of our lives is coming in Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do to prepare, not really. Ready or not, God is born to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.
Lord,
In response to the good news of God, let us confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Having received the greatest gift, having received the fullness of God's presence in Jesus Christ, let us return to God our tithes and our offerings. You may be seated. Let us join together in prayer. gracious and loving God. Teach us how to receive, how to be thankful for our many blessings, how to realize the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, for us, how to receive blessings as you have taught us, by giving. We pray that the Spirit of your Son, the Spirit of love, would suffuse all we do in our worship of you, in our care for one another, and in our giving for those who have less. Recognizing the greatness of your gift to us, we prepare for you as best we can. Hear us as we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. God, this season in particular, we are grateful for the gift of worship, for the opportunity to grow in faith by discovering your story again. For the familiar hymns and carols of the season that open the joy of heaven. For decorations and celebrations, time with family and loved ones. We're grateful for the many who have worked hard to prepare our community for this time. For children and teachers, musicians and ushers, for those who lend a helping hand and join in your great work. We pray that our joy this season would reflect the joy of heaven, that as Jesus Christ comes to us, we would discover our way to you. Hear us as we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. In hearing your story, Lord, we remember how the parents of Jesus sought shelter and found no room at the inn. So we remember those who lack shelter, especially as the weather turns cold. We remember those whose housing situation is threatened or unstable. We remember those who lack food in the midst of so much celebration. We remember those who grieve, who lack for ones they love as families travel and join together. And we remember those who are alone. Become present once again, God of grace, to those whom you came to save. For the poor, hungry, grieving, and distressed, hear us as we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. We remember the example of shepherds who heard the call of angels to look for the newborn king. And so we pray for those who hear that call. We pray vision and direction for those who wander lost. We pray wisdom and guidance for those needing a way to you. We pray hope and joy for those needing encouragement and friendship and company for those who are alone. By your Spirit, give us what we need so that we might discover our way to you in Jesus Christ. Hear us as we pray. Come, Lord Jesus. These and all our prayers we offer through Jesus Christ our Lord. We rejoice in his coming. We look forward to receiving the fullness of your gift, that you are with us wherever we go, that you will meet us wherever we are, that you will hear us however we pray, and that you will hear us in the words Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Merry Christmas. We hope you can join us this evening as we continue to celebrate God who is coming to us in Jesus Christ. But whether you prepare with us or you prepare out into the world, go looking for God. And may God find you in surprising places. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.